Beautiful was that song. Thank you, Elihon. God has blessed you, Elihon, and carry the burden of a gift that God has given you faithfully for him. Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, church. Good to see you all. Not in numbers that we normally are, but it is what it is. Look, before we go into the sermon for today, there is an item of business we have to do, okay? We are starting church elections. So today, you are going to choose the selection committee, which is going to choose the nominating committee. So what I'm going to ask those of you who have these pieces of paper to come up, and those of you who are the members of a church, if you could please put up your hand so we can give you the slip of paper, and I'm going to give you further instructions. So those of you who are the members of Mount Gravatt SDA Church, can I see your hands? So people are going to come to you and give you a piece of paper, and I'll give you further instructions. Good. Thank you so much. So the only those who are members of a church, that would be great. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So this is what you need to do. I hope you have a pen. If you don't have a pen, turn around and ask somebody to borrow a pen. So I want you to write three names on that piece of paper. So please write three names of those who are the members of a church. And I'd like you to think about to try to write the names across the age. So a younger person, middle-aged person, maybe older person, and maybe also across the gender as well, so that we have a good representation of people for this selection committee. So if you could write three names on that piece of paper, we are going then to collect it. And I'm going to ask Noemi to collate all those names. I put you on spot, Noemi. By the way, Noemi is our Bible worker, and one of these days we'll put a spotlight on her because we haven't properly still introduced her to the church. We'll probably do that next Sabbath. But Noemi, if you stand up so people know who you are, hey, most of them do, but let's do it, make it formal. Noemi is our gospel worker, and she wants to be called gospel worker. This is really nice. So if you can write three names, that'll be really good. And if you can come now and collect these papers, Noemi is just going to collate them and see. We have done the same thing for the first service, and so I will be calling you who have been elected for the selection committee probably this week, and we are going to meet, if we can, this week. Yes. Oh, you can write any name that you know who are members of this church, so they need to be three names. If you can come up only with two, that's okay, but we would ask you to write three names. Correct. Or they could be from the first church service as well. Yeah. They will be doing the selection. So we are organizing a selection committee, which then is going to select the nominating committee. And the nominating committee will choose people who will be in their ministries. I'm sorry that I didn't explain everything, but I just take for granted. Yeah. What is this all about? Okay. You got it now? Good, thank you. So if you are done, if you can just put up your hand so we can collect that piece of paper from you, and then we will get into the message. Thank you. just a couple of here. Thank you. So, okay, let me tell you something interesting and strange at the same time before I get into a sermon. You ready? Hollywood launched a blockbuster movie by the name The Tomorrow's War. Any of you heard of the movie? Tomorrow's War? The storyline is, I haven't watched it, but I think it's now in movies. At the moment, is it? It is? Okay. Prime, on Prime Video, correct. And it is about these aliens who are coming to destroy planet Earth, or humans. So there's this contingent of humans who have heard that this is coming. So what they have to do, they have to travel into the future and to face these aliens so that they can preserve the life on planet. But when they go, they realize that these aliens are really interesting creatures. And these aliens are Sabbath keepers. So what they do, what they found as a weakness, is that they, on Sabbath, they don't work. So that they would have to fight them on Sabbath. Just interesting and strange. So it's called The Tomorrow's War. Let's have a prayer. Father, we come to you this morning and we just thank you for being our God. Father, we pray that as we open your word, that the light of your word and the influence of your spirit will be powerful enough to make us faithful and the receivers of the beauty of the gospel of Jesus. Father, be with us, we pray, by the power of your Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I entitled this sermon, More Than a Freedom of Speech. And what does the true freedom look like? And you know that in today's world, this issue of freedom is really an important issue. And as you know, we are in the series on the book of Exodus, covering from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 20. We talk about Moses in my first sermon. We talked about Moses, who had a career in front of him as a prince of Egypt, and a life was opening before him, and he could have had an amazing career and potentially become the Pharaoh of Egypt. And he was going in that direction. Then he matured, he had enough of politics, and he saw the injustice and he decided to become a social justice warrior. And just for a short period of time, he had that kind of life. And then, as you know, he had to flee from Egypt all the way to the land of Midian. And that's when he got the call from God and to engage in a mission for life. And last time, Api shared with us this experience of Moses encountering God at the burning bush and taking the life of mission and partnering God in this mission. So Moses, from this experience at the burning bush, is sent by God meets his brother Aaron, and he's now on his journey to fulfill the mission and partner God in this mission. As he goes to the land of Egypt, from which he came from, now in a totally different role, the first point of action for him is to meet his people, Hebrew slaves, to tell them about meeting God and to tell them the message from God. And the message of God is a good news. You, my people, are going to experience the fullness of freedom, he tells them. He shares with them the good news, which can hardly be believed. For slaves who have been in the position of toiling on a daily basis for 350 years, this is too good to be true. But Moses gathers them all and shares with them the message about the fullness of freedom that they will be experiencing. But not only that, step by step, stage by stage, he tells them exactly what is going to happen before it happens. So can you imagine? He's telling them about the encounter with God. Then he tells them about the freedom that they will experience. But then he goes into details of it, how and what will happen, step by step, stage by stage. The title of a sermon is, What is True Freedom Made Of? In which way is this sermon for you today? This is what I think. This would be the reason why you need to listen today. We are part of the world which is gripped in global crisis and needs to exit out of it. That's exactly what happened with the nation of Israel. They have been in slavery for so many years, and they've been groaning and seeking the exit out of the crisis. And God delivered them. If you're battling any form of enslavement to sin, which is addiction, idolatry, anger, whatever that is, this also is for you. And if you desire to partner God in mission he called you for, this is also for you. Let's look at the Bible. So this is the book of Exodus, chapter 6. Say therefore to the people of Israel, God telling Moses, when you meet with people, this is, you are to deliver them before anything happens. I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord. Moses was told to share this with people before anything happens. Moses follows the instructions, come before the people, and tells them word by word what God said to him. And they are listening. Here are the three questions we are asking today. What are the stages of true freedom? What are the stages of true freedom? What is the heart of true freedom, and how do we get it? What is the final destination of true freedom? These are the three questions we are looking at. I want you to see, and I see this as a key into what we have just read. There are two keys that I see in the text that we have just read. Number one, God presents himself as Moses passes on the message to the people as the ever-present great I am. So Moses comes to them with a fresh experience with the great I am at the burning bush, and he said, the great I am, send me. We are going to look into that. So that's the very first things that God says, I am the Lord. Okay? Now, the second key to understanding the true freedom we are going to talk about is God's seven-stage work of liberation promised for the future. Step by step, seven stages of what the true freedom is really made of. Step by step, or stage by stage, what will this true freedom really fully look like? So, God says, say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord. That's how he starts his speech to the people. And this is how he ends his speech to the people. He says, after all these I wills, he said, I am the Lord. And here are these seven stages, just briefly, and then we are going to look at them in details. God says, I will bring you, I will deliver you, I will redeem you, I will take you, I will be, I will bring you, I will give it to you. Here is a point. If you accept the great I am, then he will fully liberate you from all kinds of enslavement tomorrow. If you accept the great I am, he will fully liberate you of all kinds of enslavement. Very often, I hear people, when they want to encourage the other fellow Christian or fellow Adventist Christian, is claim God's promises. Have you heard that? Claim God's promises. I think we are very partial about it when we say it. Because Bible is full of promises. But if you only say to the person, claim God, the God's promises, meaning it will happen to you tomorrow, we have not delivered the whole message. Because the whole message is this. Before you talk about the promise of tomorrow, tell them about God who is the great I am. In other words, that God who is with you now is the bridge for tomorrow. Do you follow me what I'm saying to you? Very often we are projecting this carrot which is in the future, but we don't know how to get to that carrot. So God is saying, this is going to happen. The fullness of freedom will come to you through the great I am. So God who is with us today will deliver his promise tomorrow. So you need to live not in the future. You have to live in the present with God. Great I am now, so that he takes you to that tomorrow. You understand? God ties himself with us today and guarantees better future tomorrow. And I want you to observe this. If we are to experience the fullness of freedom, it is not my I am, but it is his I am that gives a full liberation and freedom. Also observe that it is not my I will that produces total freedom, but it is his I will that produces total freedom. So the message is this. Will you resign yourself to the great I am and to his great I will? When Jesus came on planet Earth, so many times he said, I am. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the resurrection and life, I am the good shepherd, I am the door. ever-present God in your life is guarantor of tomorrow's total freedom. Unless you have a bridge, you will not get there. So it's all about God with you today. Now, let us look at these seven stages of which freedom is made of. Number one, this is what God says. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. That's number one. So God said, even before he was going to do anything, this is what he said, I'm going to do first. I'm going to do this first. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will deliver you from the slavery to them. That's number two stage. Number three stage, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. Number four, I will take you to be my people. Number five, I will be your God. Number six, I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And number seven, I will give it to you for a possession. This is what a true freedom is made of. These are the elements of it. Let's go step by step. And it finishes. You see how it finishes? It starts with I am, and it finishes with I am the Lord. Number one stage. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. What is he talking about? God first deals with the symptoms of a problem, which is the burdens of the Egyptians. And there were a lot of those burdens that they had to carry as people. They had to deal maybe with the exposure to sun, with hunger, with the beatings, with pain and suffering that they were experiencing on a daily basis. God said, I'm going to deal with those problems and remove them from you. That's the first stage. I'm going to deal with symptoms of your problem. When you go through pain, physical, mental, and emotional, you want first pain to stop, beating, hunger, whatever. I just want this pain to be gone. I was watching on YouTube one of my favorite speakers, Jordan Peterson. He had this interview with this lady, Yanomi Park, a North Korean lady who experienced hell like a majority of North Koreans. And you know what? She was not even dreaming of freedom. She did not know what freedom is. Do you know what her problem was? Do you know what it was? How to survive every day. That's all she was wondering. What's going to be her next meal? That's all that she was preoccupied from day to day. So therefore, the first stage of freedom is remove the problems, the basic human problems, and provide the basic human needs. And amazing, if any of you have a chance to watch this interview with Yanomi Park, you will not waste your time by watching it. It's quite amazing. She ended up in the U.S. and ended up being a student in one of the universities, and she sees very similar movements in the U.S. as they are in the North Korea. But that's another topic. You see, Jesus, who said, I am, he was in the business of lifting the burdens. That's what he did. He crisscrossed Galilee and Judea, doing what? Meeting the needs and necessities of people. Physical, mental, emotional. He was in the business of doing that. I would say to you that Jesus is in the business of doing the same thing today, lifting the burdens of people, physical, mental, and emotional. As a church, we are in the business, in the same business of burden lifting. I'm so proud that as a church, we are having something called Helping Hands, and we have something called the Food Pantry. And that's all that it is about. And deal with the issues and necessities of life for people. We are in the same business. So the first stage of mission is lifting the burdens of people. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So you and I need this on a daily basis. The burden lifter of our lives. And that's who Jesus is. But the true freedom is in Jesus doing that for us. But that's not the end of it. He's inviting us at the same time to be the burden lifters of those who are in need. So do you want a true freedom? Let Jesus become the burden lifter. Whatever your need is, come to him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But it does not end there. Like Moses, you and I are also invited to a mission to do exactly the same. So if you want total freedom, it's not just the freedom that you get from him, but it is the freedom that you have, that you will have by engaging and lifting the burdens of others. I didn't hear anything. It is. This is not career orientation. This is not social activism. This is call for mission. Number two stage. I will deliver you from slavery to them. So the first mission stage deals with the symptoms of a problem, but the second mission stage deals with the immediate cause of a problem. What was the immediate cause of a problem for Hebrew slaves? What was it? You see, the first mission stage deals with the burden of slavery, and we talked about it. What about the second one? What was their immediate cause? What was the immediate cause of their problem? It was Pharaoh. It was slave masters. It was Egyptians. They were the cause of their problem. They inflicted them and oppressed them. Wasn't it? So God said, in my second stage of giving a full deliverance to you will be that I am going to deal with those who bring about the infliction and oppression on you. I will deal with them. Do you see it? Stage by stage. He's now dealing not only with the effects of a problem, he's dealing directly with the cause of a problem. As a church, we are to partner God in doing exactly the same. As you call God and as you call Jesus and you say, "Jesus, yes, I will come so you become my burden lifter." But not only the burden lifter, deal with the cause of my problem, Lord, please. That's your first point of call. Deal with the very heart of the problem. Whatever that immediate cause to your problem is, God wants to deal with that. But then when God deals with that, he says, "Hey, now partner me. I want you to engage with me in a mission and a ministry that you lift the burdens of people, meet their needs, and help them to deal with the immediate cause of their problem too." So you are to come to great I Am, to seek him to deal with your pain. But you are to come to the great I Am to seek him to deal with the cause of your pain. How did God do it?
How did God do it as far as these first two stages are concerned? Really interesting. God used plagues. Seemingly, he makes the situation worse than it was before. Slaves were experiencing terrible time, but now Egypt, the whole of Egypt, is starting to get the same medicine. God used plagues to deal with the effects of nationwide slavery. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. How did God do it? He used 10 plagues. God used plagues to deal with the, not only with the effects of a problem, but with the causes of the problem. Because now Egyptians, the tight oppression that they had over Jews started to loosen. God used plagues to deal with the immediate nationwide cause of slavery. I will deliver you from slavery to them. I will, in other words, he says, I'm going to deal with the Egyptians. What do you think of this one? God will use 7 last plagues to deal with the effects of worldwide slavery. And God will use 7 last plagues to deal with the immediate worldwide cause of slavery too, at the end of time. So these are the first two stages. Can I suggest to you that many copy this part of God's mission? People in the world copy this. The whole health service and health system of the world is governed by these two principles, and that is deal with the effects of problem. Your doctor, when you come to him and you want a painkiller, is going to give you a painkiller. But your doctor, if they are good doctors, they will try to find what caused your problem. True? So the world works on these two principles. It's not only health science, but liberation theology also is all about these two principles. When we talk about the gospel starts with these two principles. It has absolutely social aspect of it. The very first two stages of the gospel is the social aspect to it. Social activism is all about these first two principles. May I suggest to you that that's where they stop. They don't go any further than that. That's where they stop. But that's not the fullness of the freedom. We come to the third stage, and God said this, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. That's the third stage. So God used plagues to deal with the effects of nationwide slavery. God used plagues to deal with the immediate cause of nationwide slavery. God used Passover lamb to deal with the ultimate cause of nationwide slavery. This is where the demarcation of the world and the church is. The culture will not point you to the Lamb of God. And the culture does not know really what the true freedom is. Hebrews experienced the full release from slavery to the Egyptians the night the first Passover happened. The very next day, they left Egypt. For us, as sinners, daily coming to the foot of the cross is our greatest necessity. You will not know what the heart of a true freedom is until you come to the foot of the cross. Partnering God in His mission, we are to bring others to the saving relationship with Jesus. Experiencing true freedom is in both. Not only that you are to come to the foot of the cross and experience the very heart of liberation and freedom, but you are also to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ who died on the cross of Calvary, because that is the heart of a true freedom. It's not only you experiencing it on your own skin, but it is sharing that with others. That is a true freedom. God doesn't only want you to be an object of His grace. He wants you to be the vessel of His grace. So that is a true freedom. God needs people here to share with the world who is becoming more and more enslaved in Babylon, to deliver them. And yes, we start with the social gospel, but we don't stop there. We go into the heart of things. And you and I are to introduce Jesus Christ and Him crucified as the very heart where the freedom blossoms. Pain and suffering as effects of sin will not cease, neither will oppression as a cause of sin cease until the Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world. Humanity will try over and over again to deal with the effects of sin. Humanity will forever try to deal with the immediate causes of sin. But humanity will never succeed until people come to the foot of the cross, where the true freedom for the ultimate cause of all problems is resolved. Global pain and suffering and global oppression will be taking place because of the global rejection of the ultimate solution for sin, which is the Lamb of God. The global oppression which will be felt in the land of Babylon and the slavery to it will be felt more and more. The only solution for Babylon is the great I Am who became the great Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Salvation for the people of God will only be in Jesus crucified, who fully covers us from all our sin. This is yet not the last stage of the fullness of freedom. It continues. God said, I will take you to be my people. I will be your God. Let me ask you, when did this take place with Hebrews? When did it take place? At the foot of Mount Sinai. At the foot of Mount Sinai. The very first covenantal vow, or we call it the first commandment, starts how? I am the Lord your God. Remember? And you shall have no other gods before me. Followed by 9 more covenantal vows. This is formally when people become his people. Yes, he has delivered them. He has done 10 plagues. He has removed the effects of sin. He has removed the immediate cause of sin. Yes, they have accepted him through the Passover lamb, but they formally become his people at the foot of Sinai, What happened is God descended on the mountain in an amazing glory. And they were called to come to the foot of the mountain. And they met. And as they met, Moses read 10 vows. Why do I call them vows? Because remember that in the Old Testament, the people of Israel were called what? The bride. So if they were called the bride, when did they get married? They got married at the foot of Mount Sinai. As Moses reads the vows, and they eventually become his people. They belong. When you get baptized, you formally belong. Yes, the courtship started before, but you crown it with baptism. So if there are some of you who have not been baptized, I really want to encourage you to get baptized. You belong. You belong. You're part of a family. If you really want true freedom, this is one stage of it. This is the stage of true freedom. You now belong. Rejoice in the fact that you belong and that you are a child of God. Partner God in bringing others to belong to the family of God. Experiencing true freedom is in both. Knowing that you are a child of God, but partnering with God to bring others to become children of God. I didn't hear anything. And this is the final destination of true freedom. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord. Did this happen? It did. From slaves who could not believe the message that Moses brought them. God faithfully took them stage by stage, step by step, through all process of getting fullness of freedom, and eventually took them into the promised land. They experienced finally what the fullness of freedom really is. We will never know what the fullness of freedom is until we see Jesus Christ coming on the clouds of heaven. We will not know what the fullness of freedom is until we see the New Jerusalem. Encourage yourself with the reality of Jesus' soon return and our final destiny. Tell others with the reality of Jesus' soon return and our final destiny. Experiencing true freedom is in both. Rejoice in it, but share it also with others. Our issue of freedom is real today, but you will get it partially given to you by a culture. But nothing compares to what comes from the Word of God. And you and I are just incredibly privileged to know it. You are called not to be a career pursuer. You are not called to be a social activist. You are called for a life of mission. And you know what the freedom is. And you are called to partner God in it. May God bless you. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you for your word, that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path in the land of Babylon, which we are called to minister to. and not to shy away from. Lord, please help us to be the objects of the gospel, receivers of the gospel, but help us, Lord, to be the vessels of the gospel, is what we ask in the name of Jesus.